with this bunch of teenagers. And I used to think, how lucky are we that Marge is spending so much time with us? So I wanted to ask Marge, one of my questions I wanted to ask is, why was it so important to you to give us that time?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming here and giving me the opportunity to meet you once again. And I also must admit that I was very impressed to see this school. It's one of the last schools that's opened, right? Over a couple of months ago? 1 month ago. Very impressive. How many of you came for the first time here? And are you also impressed? So I'm not the only one who is impressed. Thank you. Thank you very much, Navin Krishna. And, well, why I decided to spend time with the Pandav Senas from the very beginning, because you see, any remarkable achievement is achieved by the, it's the youth that make things happen. In ISKCON also we have seen, although Srila Prabhupada was the one who established Krishna consciousness in the West, but Prabhupada actually did it with the support of the youth, especially the American youth. The American youth came forward to assist Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada sent them to different parts of the world. And as a result of that, Krishna consciousness movement spread the way it did. I mean, we look at the history, any remarkable achievement has always been accomplished with the support and involvement of the youth. And that's why I was so inclined to give my time and give my support to the youth.
Yeah.
Youth of London.
So Marge would personally come, spend time with us, train us, and give us his association. So Marge, there's another question that devotees have been asking, is that in Pandavasana we have many different leaders, groups, gurus giving advice. How do we remain unified with so much diversity?
Yes. Like, to maintain our unity, we have to see or we have to comprehend the overall structure of the institution of ISKCON. The structure is, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya. Srila Prabhupada is the head of ISKCON for all time. And then there are many others, like you can say the gurus, the GBCs, the temple presidents, and other individuals playing leading roles. Now, we have to see that, that's why I was saying that we have to see the whole picture. Srila Prabhupada is the head, Srila Prabhupada is the center, and with Srila Prabhupada in the center, or as the center, the entire structure is. Now, it'll be a mistake to think that those who are my leader or our group's leader, he's the only leader. In that respect, to make this point clear, I would give an example. How many of you know the structure of the army? Do you know the structure of the army? Okay, who is the head of the army? The general, or the, not just general, the field marshal, probably in the British army structure. The field marshal, right? And then under him, there are different types of generals. And under him comes brigadiers. Under him comes the majors, captains, lieutenant. So the lieutenant has a group of soldiers in his group. Now, yes, the soldiers in the lieutenant's group is seeing that he is my leader. But then the lieutenant is actually subordinate to the captain. And then the captain has his group, like few lieutenants and so forth, and their groups. And then it goes to the next level, the major. Then it goes to the colonel. Then it goes to the brigadiers. Then it goes to the general. Now the thing is that although these different groups are functioning as a group under the leadership of certain leader, but they are not thinking that my leader is my only, you know, he is the only person that I am going to be submissive to. No, although he is submissive to their group leader, but they are also subservient to the group leader's leaders. And those leaders are also subservient to their authority or their leaders. And this way, finally it goes to the field marshal. Who is the head of the army? And all the soldiers in the army are functioning under him. So in this way, we have to see that Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya. Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual head of this institution, and everyone else is functioning under his authority structure. No one is independently kind of developing his own group or motivating his own group. He is functioning so under the authority structure of Srila Prabhupada. So when you see in that light, then we will see that all the gurus are functioning. Are the gurus independent themselves, or they are subservient to ISKCON? I mean, I as a spiritual master, I can tell you that I am subservient to ISKCON. I am giving initiation in ISKCON. I am a guru of ISKCON because ISKCON allowed me to. If tomorrow the GBC says that, Maharaj, you can't give initiation anymore, I have to stop. Now tell me, am I functioning with my own authority, or am I functioning as subservient to a institution of ISKCON? So this is how we have to see the role of every guru, every GBC, every temple president, and everyone in the leadership position in ISKCON.
Thank you, Maharaj. If anyone here has questions, feel free to write them down and ask them after I've finished speaking. Maharaj,
I'll also make one point very clear. Look, I'm being very frank because I know that I'm dealing with a group of mature, intelligent individuals. Actually, in ISKCON, we are facing a major problem today. One of the big problems is what we call guru groupism. Like, the groups think that my guru is everything and that's it. But no, like, if we develop that mentality or misunderstanding, that will stifle the progress of ISKCON. We have to see the overall picture. Every guru, everyone is functioning under the authority structure of ISKCON. Everyone is functioning for the benefit of ISKCON. And of course, the gurus also must try to remind their followers that we are functioning as an institution where Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya.
That comes to my next question is, as the generations go by, in the next 50 years, 100 years, how do we keep Srila Prabhupada in the center, his books in the center?
Well, you said it. The best way to keep Prabhupada in center is by putting Srila Prabhupada's books in the center. Why Prabhupada is the center? Like, look at the term, founder acharya. No one will ever question about Srila Prabhupada being the founder of ISKCON. But what we have to recognize and establish is that Srila Prabhupada is the acharya of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual head of ISKCON for all time. And if we maintain that, and why Srila Prabhupada is the Acharya of ISKCON? Because ISKCON has been founded on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's teachings has been recorded in his books. So when we recognize that the entire structure of ISKCON is established on Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and therefore Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of ISKCON. So that is how we have to establish Srila Prabhupada. And the system has been established already. Like say for example, we have not only a custom, we have a resolution. Wherever the name ISKCON will come, there must be the mention of Srila Prabhupada as the founder Acharya. So this is how we are constantly reminding everybody who is the head of the institution. And the other thing is, every day, who is being worshipped as the guru of this institution? Every day in every temple, we have the Guru Puja of Srila Prabhupada. So this is also establishing that Srila Prabhupada is the guru of ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada is the spiritual head of ISKCON. And if we maintain this, and fortunately this custom is being maintained. And since it is going to go on in this way, Srila Prabhupada's position will always remain intact as the center, as the head of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness.
Maharaj, I have questions from one of the students here. They're afraid to take a risk in doing a service for Krishna in case they make mistakes. How do we tell a young person that they should try?
Okay, mistake is natural, you make mistakes. Making mistake is not wrong, but not to learn from a mistake is wrong. So make mistakes. Actually, in that respect, I must admit, like when I was young, I was very much motivated by one statement by Winston Churchill. Young man of 20 to 25, go out in the world, do things, make mistakes and learn. Make mistakes. But learn from your mistakes. If you don't do things because you will make mistakes, then you will become lazy. So no, go out, do things, make mistakes and learn.
What we find is that a lot of university students, a lot of people come to our jammings, and then they find it difficult to take up a responsibility because they think that why should I invest my time in Krishna when I could explore and do other things? What would you say to a person?
I would say that first of all, you have to realize that where you are investing your time, what's going to be the benefit of it? Right? Don't you make investment when the benefit is great?
Yes.
Right? If by investing £1, you get £25,000, won't you make that investment? So that should be the motivating factor. Whatever we are doing in ISKCON, whatever service we are rendering in ISKCON for our own spiritual advancement, for our own spiritual benefit. And the spiritual benefit cannot be measured by any amount of material calculation. Like you know the analogy? All the wealth of this world is put in one side of the balance. And tulsi leaf representing the devotional service to Krishna is on the other side of the balance. Which side will weigh heavier?
Tulsi
side. So bhakti cannot be measured by any amount of material calculation. So that is the benefit you are deriving. Whatever you are doing, whatever devotional service you are rendering is being recorded by Krishna. And Krishna will never forget that. And Krishna will positively reward you for that. Therefore, don't hesitate when it when you get an opportunity to render devotional service.
Maharaj, many of the Pandava Sena members after 24 years, now they're householders and they gave up their youth to preach and they did so much in their devotional service. And now they've got children and they find it difficult to remain infused. And some leave. So what advice would you give?
Well, I'll say this, these are some natural consequence. I don't know whether I can use the use consequence, or you can say that natural phenomena. Mm. Mm. Like when you are young, you're enthusiastic, you are involved in Krishna consciousness as Pandava Sena, you're fired up. But then you take up a job. Then good part of your time actually goes to your job, whatever or job or business, whatever you're doing. And after 5 days of hard work, you know, the weekends, you know, that you get. Initially, I notice that the individuals are, the youth are quite involved. When they take up job for some time, they're involved. But then they begin to feel that these 5 days of toiling is straining, stressful. And then their involvement in the weekends also begin to reduce. Then they, as you said, they get married. And so in this way, their involvement in Krishna consciousness begin to reduce gradually. And even though it is a natural consequence, but I would say don't give up. Don't sever yourself from this connection. Right? And that's why this slogan, once a Pandava Sena, forever Pandava Sena. Right? You are the soldiers of Pandavas. You are the soldiers of Krishna. So never cease to be a soldier. In whatever situation you are in, you may not be able to give that kind of time that you used to give when you were a young student. But doesn't matter. At least in your heart you harbor that conviction. And then, okay, as you said, get married, get children. Okay, bring up your children to become Pandava Senas also. So this is how you let the legacy to continue.
Maharaj, in terms of time management, I'm astounded by how you have thousands of students, disciples around the world, GBC manager duties, projects in different parts of the world, and yet you still manage to finish your rounds, do your reading, give classes, and speak and give me time and other people time. So how do you manage time so that we could manage time?
I think two things that helps me very much is that I don't have a job. And I don't have a personal family to maintain. Like, yes, ISKCON is my family. So what you're doing, the time that you're investing, and the time that you always have for your own family, yes, I have all the time for my own family, and that is ISKCON.
Maharaj, on Saturday I'm coming to see you again in Orlando.
Okay, yes. Wonderful. Yes.
And the reason I'm coming is because I'm so impressed that you're doing a farm project and your cow protection, and you're going to California to do a conference on it. And I remember reading that Prabhupada wanted to do something like that in Gita Nagari, cow protection farm community, and he wanted to establish self-sufficiency. So we would like to know what inspired you to do this and what's happening in Orlando or Deland, Florida.
Well, okay, I'll give you the background. You see, last year I was the chairman of the GPC, and last year we appointed a new minister for the Ministry of Cow Protection and Agriculture. And I found that that person, his name is Kalakanta Das, found him to be a very, very enthusiastic and sincere person. He's from Brazil, and he's relatively young, and he was extremely, you know, sincere about his involvement in the ministry. And I was feeling very guilty at one point. He actually wanted $60,000 budget for a year. But, you know, we could actually approve only $10,000. And while doing that, I was thinking, you know, like his budget is $60,000 and we are giving him only $10,000. How is he going to run the ministry? And this is such an important ministry. Like, cow protection is our most important business. Our basic foundation is go brahmana hitayacha. Right? First go, then the brahmana, first the cows, and that shows how important the cows are for us, the culture that we are pursuing. So, I had a meeting with him, and I told him that, look, don't worry, I'll give you the support. Because, and another thing I can also say that, you know, in ISKCON, when you're a guru, you have a lot of resources. You have man, you have money. But if you're not a guru, then you are in trouble. Unless you are Navin Krishna with the government.
Sandy Ben.
And of course, the Pandav Sena is a big resource. Big, very big resource, at least manpower-wise. Anyway, so I was talking about generally in ISKCON scenario, like, therefore I thought that, you know, he needs help. He wants to do something. Prabhupada emphasized, you know, cow protection very, very strongly. But Prabhupada himself couldn't do anything because Prabhupada's mission was to establish Krishna consciousness in the West. And he didn't want to be sidetracked. So, but you know, Prabhupada, time and time again, you know, he reminded, like, as you're mentioning about Gita Nagari, it was such an important project. Like when Prabhupada left in 77, in spite of being so sick, Prabhupada wanted to, he came to London, and his next stop was New York in order to go to Gita Nagari. He wanted to spend time in Gita Nagari. So that shows how important this project was, cow protection was, to Srila Prabhupada. So I thought that I would give him the support. So last year in April, we had a meeting in New Vrindavan. And some devotees who are involved in cow protection, we had a meeting with them in New Vrindavan. And also through my, you know, basic research, so to say, it became very clear to me that the cow protection is suffering in ISKCON because in the cold climate, you know, taking care of the dry cows becomes a very, very heavy burden. In the cold climate, whether the cow is giving milk or not. Generally, we treat the milking cows in a certain way and non-milking cows in some other way, and the bulls in some other way. Now, you know, but in the West, where the winter is so severe, you have to keep those non-milking cows also in a shed, and you have to provide the fodder that you have to buy from the market. And it becomes practically impossible to maintain. Another thing is that a cow gives milk for 10 years. Say the first, not even 10 years, 7 years I would say. From 3 to 10. And that also for only 6 months. The other 6 months the cow is not giving milk. But the cow lives for 20 years, 18 to 20 years. Now, just consider, you know, we can maintain the cow for 10 years when it's milking the milk, giving milk. But for remaining 10 years, you know, we have to take care of the cow. And this is the big hindrance to this progress of cow culture. At that time, I actually thought that if we could get these non-milking cows to an area where the weather is good throughout the year, then they can graze. And those non-milking cows don't really need much. If they have field to graze, and if there is some medical support, and other caring, then, it will be all right. So with that mind, I actually told some of the devotees to look for some place in southern part of America where the weather is very good. And in course of our search, we came across this property in Orlando, near Orlando. It's about 1 hour's drive from Orlando City and about 1 hour, 15 minutes drive from the airport. And so, and this used to be a Christian youth retreat center. So lots of facilities were already there. There were 2 dormitories housing about 150 beds. A very beautiful kitchen with a dining hall, another church hall, and all that facilities are already there. Of course, in a little, unkempt condition. And because they didn't use that facility for the last 4 years, they shifted their youth center to somewhere else. But for us, it was such a wonderful facility to establish Vedic culture and promote Vedic culture in that part of the world. So that's how I got involved there.
I saw you planting at night, planting so many different things and seeds.
That's one of the first things that we thought of doing. I thought that because, as I said, that place hasn't been used for so long. So we wanted to, do up. We are doing the renovation of that place. We have done quite a lot of renovation in that area. And one thing is that I'm very fond of gardening myself. Ever since I got involved in ISKCON, I didn't really get the opportunity to do that. But when I was young, I was very fond of gardening, especially the flowers, gardening flowers. So, I started to, make gardens and, just before I came here, I planted 120 rose bushes. And they were all very, high quality roses. And we planted 30 magnolia trees, Magnolia grandiflora. Then also we have another 50 camellias. And this is how, and plus, we have the flower beds where you are developing different types of other flowers, petunias, marigold, etc.
It's very inspiring. That's why I wanted to go and do some service.
So when you come there, you'll see. And I must admit one thing also, I was visiting New Orleans, and there I come across this one girl, American girl, name is Kara. She's taking to Krishna consciousness, and I invited her to come. She was not quite sure where she would go, if she joined a temple, which temple she would join. And she's such an asset. She knows so much about plants. And she works, I have to tell her, Kara, please go take rest. Kara, please go take prasad. She doesn't care about eating and sleeping, and you'll meet her when you go there. She's such an asset. She knows so much about plants and gardening. And plus, she's so committed, so enthusiastic. I invited her to come and just check out, how she feels, I told her, come, why don't you see how we like it there? And the other day, in course of our discussion, she was saying that in 3 years, I won't be able to recognize this place. So I told her, so you're already planning to stay here for 3 years? And she admitted, yes, she likes it there and she is quite committed.
Maharaj, this January coming up, 2019, is 25 years since Pandavasena started. Mm. And Pandavasena has over 200 initiated devotees, I think, 200 plus. Naveen, you should know. Okay. It has the schools, which is, you know, it has the preaching that Sandipan Krishna is doing, university preaching. It's got so many different things that have happened. Many leaders have come from the center. What is your vision, or what would Prabhupada say for the next 25 years from this platform?
Double it every year.
Could you elaborate a bit? Because I've run out of questions.
Okay. I thought that my answer was so simple that it didn't need any elaboration. Okay. Every one of you, make it a point to make at least one Pandavasena in a year. Right? And then make it a policy that all Pandavasenas have to make one Pandavasena every year. So isn't that the simple way of doubling it? And that was, that's not my words, that's Prabhupada's words. Double it. Prabhupada wanted the book distribution, double it. If you did X amount of books this year, X number of books this year, next year I'm expecting that you will do 2X.
Shashtang Dhanwat Param and Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask you that currently it takes me 20 minutes to chant one round of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. At this rate, it would take me 5 hours and 20 minutes to chant 16 rounds. So would you kindly be able to provide some tips or techniques as to how I can improve my speed and how many rounds I should be chanting at 20 minutes?
So in that respect, I will say half it. Make it a point to chant faster. Prabhupada said that if you are really attentively chanting, it shouldn't take more than 5 minutes. So don't let your mind space out. Now, I'm not saying that your mind is spacing out. Like what actually happens initially, you take a long time to pronounce the mantra. Don't worry about that. Just, say it as fast as you can. Now, when you chant, it's not really meant for meditation. When you're chanting in japa, they do it quickly. But meditation is when you are kind of going deep into the mantra, the meaning of the mantra, the effect of the mantra. Let that take long time. But when you're chanting, make it a point to chant quickly. Why don't you try it now? Say it. Let's see how quickly you can chant. Give him the mic.
Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhara, Sivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Very good. Now try to make it even faster.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Good. See, if you chant like that, then you'll see that, you can do it in 7.5 minutes. At least. Or at the most. Thank you. Yes, Rajbhari Krishna.
So you're saying that the meditation is not during japa. But I've heard that Prabhupada said over 90% of your spiritual advancement comes from japa. So how come that's the case, but going deeper into it doesn't come during japa? How come you're still getting your advancement?
Yeah, that's by hearing. By hearing the mantra when you're chanting, you make advancement. You don't need to meditate as such on that. Just keep on hearing. Because the sound vibration itself is a transcendental sound vibration. So that will elevate you spiritually.
Don't feel shy. Any other questions? Anubandhu Prabhu? Oh.
No.
You wanted to say something.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you. So Pandavasen is, there's a service, Sankirtan Street Party, which they distribute books in the Kirtan and streets. But I was just reading this quote the other day from Srila Prabhupada where he says that the best of kirtans is book distribution. It doesn't mean we give up our chanting, but he said the best of kirtans is distributing his books. So how do we encourage the youth, not only just a few group who are doing that particular service, but to go out on the streets with confidence and distribute Srila Prabhupada's books?
Yeah. So, first of all, make them understand that this is a very important spiritual activity. These books, say, this movement is meant to spread all over the world in every town and village. And the means for doing that is by distributing books. Because the books are actually carrying the transcendental message, right? And so when you're distributing the books, you're making the possibility of individuals becoming devotees, right? Sometimes, you know, we used to consider, we still consider, that these books are like time bombs. We are planting these time bombs in different areas. And at some point, you know, they'll explode. And they explode would mean, you know, individuals will become devotees. I'll give you an example, you know, how incredible effect these books have. Like, there is a French man, retired. So, you know, like, he developed some sort of back pain, back problem. And he was bedridden for about 2 months. When he's bedridden, all he could do is read books. Right? So he was reading books. And he came across one book, which he never thought of reading. That happens to be Bhagavad Gita. It was just in the shelf. He never bothered to read it. Someday, probably in some airport, he got that book and that was it. And he started to read that. And while reading it, he became so impressed that he resolved that when he would get better, he would go and meet these people. And at the back of the book, there was this address of New Mayapur in France. And when he got well, he went to New Mayapur. The day he arrived, there happened to be the day of Gaur Purnima. And he saw the festivity there. And he was already impressed and now he was completely sold out. And this person was so impressed and became so much affected by Krishna consciousness, by reading Prabhupada's books, that at the age of 75 he joined the movement. And he was an executive, and he gave an incredible support to a movement in France at a time when we are going through a major, major crisis. He not only gave his time, but he gave half of his money to the temple. Plus, you know, he gave his, you know, like support with all his expertise and influence. Just somehow the book happened to be there. And somehow this person just happened to read it. And see, his whole life got transformed. And I tell you, today he's a sannyasi. His name is Paribrajakacharya Swami, France. So, and there are so many incredible stories like that. Not stories, incredible incidents like that, you know. How individuals became affected by the books. I mean, if I ask, how many of you have been induced to Krishna consciousness by reading Prabhupada's books? There you are. You see, this is the magical effect of these books. Now, you realize, you know, how important it is to give out these books. Sometimes we think, oh, what people will think, you know, like sometimes we feel shy to approach people. But the thing is that we must recognize that we are generating the greatest good fortune for them, you know, by giving them these books. We are not taking anything from them. We are not, you know, depending upon their mercy. They are actually depending upon our mercy, and we have to go out and give it to them. Yes.
Thank you. Maharaj, I just wanted to thank you for your recent comments you made about how important this activity of book distribution is. And just to echo the words of Prabhuji's feeling and heart, we normally see him very often when we go out on Sankirtan. At the manor, there is a very nice initiative which has been started called Monthly Sankirtan Festival, where we are trying to invite the entire community to come together for a day. Be it a child, be it a grihastha, be it a brahmachari, whoever it may be, and go out in a team spirit sometimes. And by doing this activity, we have come across many devotees who said that, you know, it's been a long time since I've come out, but when I come out in a team, I felt very nice and I want to keep coming. So I just wanted to share that is a recent thing which we have started at the manor, that we celebrate a whole monthly long festival by one day dedicating and going out in a team spirit in various venues, door to door and other things. So I just wanted to extend the invitation to the Pandav Sena for this activity, that they're more than welcome. And next one is on 19th of March at the manor. Well, 19th of May, sorry.
Yeah. And you are, it seems that you are involved in organizing it?
Yes, with Nikhil Prabhu. Yeah. Yes,
very good. Yes, very good. So please,
we also have our family business seminar is being organized at the manor on 23rd of June by His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu.
Yeah, I was just about to ask whether he came here.
He's coming in June.
He didn't come so far.
He came last year, Maharaj.
Okay, very good.
And this year, last year we did the seminar in Soho, and this year it's at the manor in the village hall on 23rd of June. Just wanted to add that, Mahesh. Thank you.
Thank you so much. On your point about one person bringing another person to Panasena, I've recently been bombarded with different questions from people who come from a Hindu background. So, and they might have their own conception already. So whether that's through for demigod worship or being initiated as a Brahmin from young age, and they ask whether this is okay, what to do about it. They've got demigod deities on their altar, or they consider different demigods in different positions. So how do you handle that sensitively?
You see, demigod worship is not bad, but not to recognize that demigods are subservient to Krishna, that is wrong. You get the point? Like, you see, the gopis were worshipping Katayani Devi, right? And when they worship the demigods, there's nothing wrong, but we have to understand that we have nothing to gain from the demigods. And demigods are not the controller. They are secondary controller. The prime principal controller is Krishna. And the demigods are functioning under his authority. So, like, you know, if they have that understanding, then let them carry on. But eventually we'll see that they themselves will give up. when they get the proper understanding, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you worship the Supreme, there is no need to worship the subordinates. Right? Like if you know the prince, the chairman of the bank, then you don't have to go to the bank clerk to get some favor. You can go straight to the chairman. So similarly, when you approach Krishna, when you're worshipping Krishna, there is no need to go to the other controllers. They are the controllers to some extent, but they are not the supreme controller. Supreme controller is Krishna. So that understanding has to be there. Then everything will be alright. And we have seen in course of our preaching, there had been people, those who are demigod worshippers, especially in India, it's very common. But you know, when they came to Krishna consciousness, got to understand, they themselves decided that there's no need to worship those demigods. Thank you. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was wondering, it would have been very easy for you to just stay in Mayapur and do your own bhajan. But what has inspired you to persevere through so many decades as a guru, as a GBC, doing so much service?
Well, Prabhupada's example, right? Prabhupada at the age of 70 left Vrindavan, such a coveted situation, living in Radha Damodar temple, just next to Rupa Goswami Samadhi. What can be a greater situation than that spiritually? But Prabhupada left that situation, went to America, practically as a pauper, not practically as a pauper, literally as a pauper. He didn't have a single penny with him. In that situation, why did he leave such a, you know, wonderful spiritual situation and go into total uncertainty? So this is how Prabhupada actually set the right example for all of us. Our life is not meant for just nirjan bhajan, solitary bhajan. Our life is meant for service. And sometimes we say our life begins at 70. Like that's what Prabhupada showed us. And at the age of 70, he went out and did whatever he did. So there, for us, there is no question of retirement. One project after another. That should be our motivating factor.
Maharaj, I have one of the questions from the ladies, and if you have any more, if you could bring the mic there. Thank you. Guru Maharaj, as a mother, you often have to give more than you have. It becomes a strain after a while. Do you have any ideas or have you seen anything in ISKCON communities that really work well for nourishing mothers, children and families in general?
Give more of what? Give more? I mean, whose question was that? Like, yeah, give more in which sense? Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. 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 Like, you know, from the Vedic perspective, I must say that mother's main business is to take care of the children. So, in that service, in that responsibility, don't hesitate to give your time and energy and whatever. And your children need it. And it's unfortunate that in today's world, in most cases, the children are not getting the mother's love and affection. And as a result of that, you know, they're not growing up properly. Their characters are practically non-existent. They don't have any noble qualities in them. You know, they're losing out on that. Why? Because they are not getting the mother's love and affection. So the Vedic culture is the mother must give all the love to their children, because that will build their character.
How do you find that balance? For example, if the children don't want to go to a program because it's not suited for them, do you just leave them at home and then therefore they miss out on association, kirtan?
Preach to them. Well, make it exciting for them to go to the temple. Like, it's not that, you know, you take them to the temple and make them sit through the Bhagavatam class. Naturally, they'll get bored, right? Like, provide them, you know, what they want. When they come to the temple, let them have all the association of other children, other friends, and they can play, they can do so many things in a Krishna conscious way. So, you know, I think our temple should provide. I'm sure the temple is providing. I remember at least during our festivals, like some of the mothers were taking care of the children, making it so exciting for them. And the little girls having gopi dots. You know, this is how, you know, like, their coming to the temple should be so exciting that they'll really look forward to it. So that's how you create that atmosphere there.
Any more questions? Oh, one at the back.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the class. So I would like to ask you about cow protection, how to increase, you know, our consciousness about cow protection. We have wonderful farms, of course, the Manor and Leicester. But besides that, how could we increase, like, throughout the, you know, UK and the world, the idea about, you know, protecting cows and offering to Krishna protected milk, like milk from protected cows, how to work on this? What's your view?
Well, due to, you know, modernization or technological advancement, you know, the bulls have become redundant. And the cows, you know, it's become, as I mentioned earlier, it's become so difficult and so expensive to maintain the dry cows that it has become practically impossible to maintain them. And that's why the farmers, you know, send the cows to the slaughterhouse. That's the easy way out. When they stop giving milk, send them to the slaughterhouse. The bulls, you know, send them to the slaughterhouse because they're useless according to their understanding. And on the other hand, what's happening in ISKCON, that we are not really promoting cow culture or cow protection. Because, you know, it's too difficult. Now, you see, in America something is happening actually. I think it's happening in UK also. The demand for ahimsa milk. And devotees are prepared to pay a lot more. Now, the extra amount of money that we are getting from selling those milk, that extra amount can secure the cows, you know, kind of an insurance when they retire. So that is how we have to think of different ways and means for, you know, promoting this cow culture, cow protection culture.
Hare Krishna. So that's my few words, Hare Krishna. So, Maharaj, thank you very much indeed for those wonderful answers to a list of wonderful questions. I just wanted to add, especially where the point of book distribution and has been discussed, that Srila Prabhupada considered all his temples to be Vaikuntha. These are embassies where Krishna is present, where we encourage wherever we meet them, we encourage them to come to the temples to get association, Darshan Association Prasad and set them on the path of devotion. Often, I have heard this many times, we describe Bhaktivedanta Manor as an oasis of Krishna consciousness in the UK, where this morning we were hearing that wonderful story of what happened in West Bromwich during Kirtan Vela, that a couple of ladies, is that right, Fede? Yeah. You want to say the story? It's a wonderful story. We must hear it. Please, you say the story because.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, everyone. So this is a story that Sudipa Prabhu mentioned this morning. So we all know that this weekend there was 24-hour Kirtan in Birmingham. And so he was saying that there was two devotees in Birmingham who were really fired up. And they were thinking that why should Kirtan just happen in this temple hall? So they thought, let's go and do Harinam. So they decided to go all around the temple trying to recruit people to go on the streets and do Harinam. But no one was interested. But they were so fired up that they decided to go on their own, two of them. So they got a sound system and cartel, and they started going to the street, just very nearby street in this local town where the Kirtan program was happening. So they were doing Kirtan, and there was like a fish and chip shop. It was owned by some Jamaican guy. And so this Jamaican owner invited these two devotees that please come in the shop. And he was very inquisitive, like, what are you guys doing? So they started talking and all this stuff. And this guy was very interested. Then the second Jamaican guy comes. And then he's like, oh, no, Christianity is the way forward. You know, all this is bogus, this and that, you know. And then the third Jamaican guy comes. And then he sees the devotees. And he's like very amused and astonished. You know, and so the devotees were talking about Bhagavad Gita, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, but do you have the Bhagavatam? You know, like out of the blue. He goes, do you have the Bhagavatam? The devotee's like, how do you know about the Bhagavatam? He goes, oh, I was just reading and researching online, and I could see, I was interested about Bhagavatam. So this second Jamaican guy goes, no, but the Bible has everything. He goes, no, listen, mate. So this third Jamaican guy is preaching to the second Jamaican guy. And he's saying, if you want to know about creation, this book has it all. You know, he's referring to Bhagavatam. So then he started telling to these devotees that, do you have Bhagavatam set? And so these two devotees told them, yeah, come, it's in the temple. So then these two devotees bring back five Jamaican potential devotees to the temple, and they sold them a Bhagavatam set for £200. You know, and it's just because of these two devotees had so much eagerness to just go there. No one was there with cartel sound system. And just the sincerity attracted, you know, those who are looking for it. So that's just a story.
And of course, our history in all these years, we have hundreds and thousands of different stories of how people have come to Krishna consciousness because of Srila Prabhupada's books. What I wanted to add is that all of us, young and old, there's a phenomenal amount of energy and sacrifice that goes into giving Krishna consciousness in various ways. But I always have felt and I feel very strongly that when that individual has read the book and he comes to the manor or to our temples, whichever, I always felt that we could present ourselves a little more effectively than we are at the present, in the present moment of time. And I know, being at the manor for the last 3 decades or more, it is a struggle. Because often we do not see book distribution happening on the front line, but often devotees do not see the what's going on in the background. And if the background's not going on, we don't have anything in the front. They say the army runs on its stomach. Is that right? So in the army, you have your frontline soldiers, but if it wasn't not the, if there wasn't a backup at the for their food and their ammunition and all the other logistics, we don't have an army. So with all the wonderful work that we all we are doing, working very hard and all the sacrifices, I think we still have a way to go because people come, they read the books, they come. And often we hear, well, I read this, but when I came to the temple, it was something else. That no one even acknowledged my presence, no one even said Hare Krishna. It wasn't the experience that I read in the books. So I think we have a little way to go. And every one of us has the potential to want to do something, to want to serve. So I can always, and I will always continue to request, young and old. Bhaktivedanta indeed is an oasis of Krishna consciousness. There's a phenomenal amount of projects which are going on. Phenomenal amount of projects which are going on for all parts of the community, every community. But there's only so many of us. And I would like to encourage everyone here that we want to present the complete package to Krishna consciousness. When someone reads the books, fantastic. When he comes to the temple, he also experiences the same. And that would be my plea to everyone here this afternoon. Please, we need your help. Whichever way you can come forward and let us continue the wonderful legacy that Srila Prabhupada has given us. And let it continue for the next 10,000 years. And let us all play our part in doing that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Pranapandu Prabhu. So Maharaj, we thank you once again for coming. And it's not very often you come now. You used to come once every 2 months to London. And we're praying that you come more and more often to inspire us.
I'll try. And incidentally, I'm coming again next month. And the month after also. That is, for Janmashtami, I'll be here.
Haribo. His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami Maharaj ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotee. Gaur Premanande Haribo. It was indeed a very wonderful experience to be with you all. Hare Krishna.
And on this special day of bank holiday, it's also a very special day for quite a lot of us because it's one of our very close friend's birthday. A very humble and sincere soul, His Grace Dhruvanath Krishna Prabhu.
Well, in order to speak about him, I must speak about his father first. You see, I'm talking about late 80s actually, about 87, 88. Jitu Prabhu was the secretary of the Patron Council. And at that time, I was facing a major problem of saving New Mayapur. And in order to save New Mayapur at that time, we needed about $2 million. And it was a big challenge. And anyway, to cut the long story short, like, we won that property in auction, but still we are $250,000 short. And I tried all over the world to kind of raise that funds, raise that amount. I could not. Then my last hope was Bhaktivedanta Manor. So I called up Jitu Prabhu and I told him about that. And I told him that, look, I need $250,000 and we may not get $250,000 from just one source. But if we can get 10 people give $25,000, then probably we can raise the amount quite easily. And so he immediately responded by saying, okay, I'll give $25,000 and I'll also try to get others. And he went and presented it to the other members of the patron council. And so eventually what happened, this, they agreed to give me the support. And with their support, actually, we could save New Mayapur. If we didn't get that $250,000 at the time, we not only would have lost the property, we would have lost all the money that we already given to the bank. And so that's how Jitu actually came forward to help us. And then finally, it was one person who actually arranged that $250,000 because they found that to get it from 10 different sources would be very difficult. So they decided that one person would come up with the money and the others will give him the guarantee that the money will be paid back. And that way they showed the confidence in me actually. And the person who gave the $250,000 was Rameshwar Prabhu. And it is because of their help that we could actually save New Mayapur, which is an amazing property in France. And in France, by the time we lost everything, that was the only thing that was actually still there because ISKCON went through a very major crisis at that time. And the thing is, that property was actually purchased by Prabhupada during Prabhupada's time. Prabhupada visited there. Prabhupada installed the deities there. So anyway, so thank you so much, Jit Prabhu. And then in course of time, I got to know a very wonderful devotee in Pandavasena who actually was so involved and so enthusiastic that he was made the chairman of the Pandavasena at that time. Naturally very impressed by his performance. Why are you sitting there? That's all you're taken care of. You come and sit here. During my first meeting with Srila Prabhupada, I met him in the train from a small group of devotees were traveling with Srila Prabhupada. You can well imagine, they're all very high-powered individuals in ISKCON at that time. And somehow I was included also in the team that would travel with Srila Prabhupada in a train. And Prabhupada was traveling in a first-class carriage. And the entire carriage was reserved for Srila Prabhupada. And then I was taken, I was introduced to Srila Prabhupada. And so then when I offered obeisances and I got up, I saw Srila Prabhupada was looking at me. And then Prabhupada motioned, he asked me to sit next to him. And you see, in the other seat, facing that seat of Srila Prabhupada, there were three GBC sannyasis at the time. Jayapataka Maharaj, Bhavananda Maharaj, and Rameshwar Maharaj. Abhiram Prabhu, the temple president of Calcutta, was sitting on the floor. And Prabhupada asked me to sit next to him. So I said, Prabhupada, I would rather sit on the floor. But Prabhupada insisted, no, you sit here. So I'm also insisting to come sit here. And he, I think, led the Pandavasena in a remarkable way. What's your perception? And he had been, all along I've seen, although he's very capable, very committed, and his achievement had been quite remarkable, but he maintained a very humble disposition. He has been always very humble, and that is a devotee, and that is the way the devotees lead. In the material platform, when you get a higher position, you become arrogant and proud. But in spiritual domain, when you make advancement, more you make advancement, the more humble you become. Again, Prabhupada made a point at that time. Wow, brave girl. So, Prabhupada said, it doesn't matter how big a position you have. The sign of your advancement is not in big position in Krishna consciousness. The sign of your advancement is how humble you have become. Like, we tend to think that, oh, he is such a big devotee, he's a big sannyasi, big GBC, big guru. Well, these positions are there, they come in course of one's involvement. But that's not the sign of advancement. Actually, the real sign of advancement is in one's humble disposition, how humble you have become. And we have seen how wonderfully Yuganath had been, so humble all throughout. And thank you very much for serving Srila Prabhupada's mission so nicely, and continue to serve in this way. And once a Pandavasena,
forever. Forever a Pandavasena.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Hare Krishna Prabhu ki.
Oh, today's your birthday. Wow. I'm sorry, I missed out on that, part. I was thinking that. Okay, a very happy birthday. And many happy Krishna conscious return of this day. So what expression you used? Krishna. Okay, born a sinner. And eternally remain a sinner. In Krishna consciousness, there is no death. It's a matter of changing body, like changing dress. So we wholeheartedly wish you a very, very happy birthday and many happy Krishna conscious return of this day, and continue to serve very nicely.
Because I wasn't clear in my announcement, so should we sing Happy Birthday to Jugnath? So Hare Krishna to you,
Hare Krishna to you, Hare Krishna to Dhruvanath Krishna, Hare Krishna to you.